Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. But look at something else. It appears again in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And it repeats itself in chapter 2 in verse 9 and in verse 10. So you have the word first appearing several times in Paul's letter to the Romans. But what we want to do, we want to look at the first few verses of this epistle. Romans chapter 1, and I will start reading with verse 8, and we will read all the way down to verse 17. If you have your Bible, go ahead and follow along, and if not, just sit there and listen as I read, beginning with verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if, by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. For as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want you to know, if that was all that Paul wrote to the Romans, that was beautiful. What way of expressing his feelings to Christians just like you and I, to people who believe, people who had obeyed the gospel, people whose reputation had gone higher and above the reputation that Rome itself had. Can you imagine someone writing and saying that the faith of these Christians in Rome was far above what was happening in Rome during those days? Wow. That is impressive. I mean, you know, that would drive our journalists crazy today, you know? Probably some of them would even commit suicide. You know, how in the world can you write something so spectacular about Christians believing, their faith being so strong and has gone out so much? You would think that everything that Caesar did, whatever thing the government did, that would be outstanding. Listen carefully. Let's learn. Let us appreciate such writing because it teaches us something very important in our study tonight. Can you imagine? First of all, I thank my God that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You have to just step back and you have to look at this because it explains in a very simple way the faith of Christians during such a crucial time in history. Can I tell you something? There was no such thing as the internet back then. Let me tell you something else. News traveled back then very slow. Most of it was from mouth to mouth and ear to ear. And yet, this man, this writer, the Apostle Paul, is focusing on what was happening among Christians and how this was going forward. What praise it is. I want you to look at verse 12. I've read it, but I want you to look at it closely. He says to these brethren, why he wanted to be there with them, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. The faith that these brethren at Rome had was identical. It was the same. It was just as powerful as the faith of Paul. Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle. How in the world can Christians have such a beautiful faith? And he is praising these brethren because they had the same faith that he did. How did this faith come about? You know how this faith came. But let's look at it. In chapter 10 of Romans, we've read, I don't know how many times, chapter 10, verses 8, beginning. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We know that. Yes, we know that. That's impressive. And that's what Paul was pointing at about these Roman Christians. But look at it closely. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We use these words. We have studied them. We have preached them. They have not lost its meaning. These words are still as beautiful as ever and as powerful as ever, because it tells us that the faith of these Romans had come about by hearing the word of God. And those that would be saved by the same manner. And here we are in the year 2021, and it repeats itself. The faith, my dear brethren, that comes by hearing the word of God was the faith that was sounding forth around the world. The faith that these Roman brethren had. But I want you to look at something else here. Something very simple. This word of God, the gospel, when you go back to Romans chapter 1, in that very same context that Paul is using to praise these brethren, says something also that stands out about his commitment, about his desire, his readiness to preach the gospel. He says in verse 15, to you who are in Rome also. Well, these Romans had already heard the gospel. They had already believed. But Paul says, I want to go back over there and I want to preach again the gospel to you. I am ready to go and preach the gospel to you because I want you to be encouraged and I want myself to be encouraged. That's awesome. That's powerful. Because that was being said by an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then he adds, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I have no shame. I mean, you know, I am totally in favor of this gospel. I want to preach it. I want to teach it. I want to share with you this gospel of Christ. You know why? Because it is the power of God to salvation. Can you imagine, and you should really, you should imagine for a minute, the gospel arriving in the city of Rome. The power, and I have to tell you, the glamour of everything that was taking place in Rome at this particular time, the influence of the Roman government and culture was just, there was nothing to compare. But here comes the gospel that was the power of God. For what purpose? To save. Can you imagine a soldier, a Roman soldier hearing that? Can you imagine Caesar hearing that? And all the councilmen and all the people that were involved in government, all the rich people? Can you imagine? These people there that were living in sin and of sin. And to hear that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. He goes on to say, for everyone who believes. Oh, you mean to tell me it's conditional? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. A person will be saved by believing. by obeying. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he's already saying it here. He's repeating what these Romans already knew. They had already believed. They had already obeyed. And he's telling them what they already knew. That the gospel was God's power to salvation. What a beautiful language, and how easy and practical it was, and it is, to read here verses 16 and 17. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God in his wisdom prepared the gospel to convey faith so that people could have faith. And as a result of that faith, they would believe, they would obey, and be saved eternally. That was the faith that Paul was praising as he wrote, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. But there's something here that I want you to notice. Very important point here. This faith that he's talking about here is a faith that obeyed. And you know why? Because the gospel has and contains commandments that ought to be obeyed. There's people, I know religious people that are having a fit when they hear this. Because people think that this kind of faith that Paul is talking about here and praising among the Romans, it was just a feeling. It was just an emotion. It was just this idea that Jesus is going to save me, and I believe that he's going to save me, so he saved me. Got nothing else to do. I cannot. You mean I've got to be baptized? Where in the world does that say that? And people start arguing, and you know, I don't have to tell you about that. I'm sure the brother Charles has preached on that many times, and if he hasn't, he better get on it now. But you know, that's important. That's important. Let's look at something very, very simple. Here, before we go there to chapter 16, here in chapter 1 and verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Go with me now to chapter 16 of Romans. And look at something that is there in verse 19. Chapter 16 and verse 19. I think I got the verse wrong, don't I? Bear with me. I do have it wrong. Well, Reuben, you're not going to find it in 1 Corinthians. It is the right text. Romans 16. I made my first mistake of this year. Chapter 16 and verse 19. You were right. For your obedience has become what? Known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Paul is writing here that not only was their faith known to all, but here he calls it what? Obedience. That's important. Because now in verse 25 of chapter 16 of Romans, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the what? The commandment of the everlasting God for what? Obedience to the faith. So what Paul is saying here is, very clearly, that these Romans, when they believe, they obeyed. And when they obeyed commandments. That's simple. Dearly beloved, this faith that Paul said that was known throughout the world was a faith that had obeyed the commandments of the gospel. You know where it is. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you, what? What did they do? They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. How did they become free from sin? How? Paul says, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. That's how they became forgiven. That's how they became saved. And in verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit then did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. It's plain. It's simple. This faith that is spoken of here started when they heard the gospel. This faith continued, and it was demonstrated by obedience to the gospel. And it continued because they continued to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, and the end is what? Everlasting life. So I ask, what did these Romans do that took Paul to say their faith is known throughout the whole world? What was it? Could they bite faith? Could they touch it? Could they see it? Yes, they did. It was the works of obedience. That's what it was. They were works of faith. And that stands out. Because this particular faith that we're talking about, this biblical faith, obeyed commandments in the gospel. But there's something else here that I have to tell you. That this faith was among all nations. Now, when you look at the fact that Paul was writing to the saints in Rome, you may come away like some years ago, I heard a preacher, a good friend of mine, preaching on Romans chapter 1. And I don't know where he got it, but I know he didn't get it from Romans. He preached that the Romans, all of them were Jews. And therefore, the only ones saved in the epistle to the Romans were Jews. So after the lesson, several of us went up to him and said, where'd you get that idea? That this was only for the Jews. He had read the same verses we had read. And, I mean, I was astonished to hear him say that. Look at it carefully in chapter 1. Let's go back to verse 5 of chapter 1. He says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among whom? All nations for his name. Among whom you, Romans, also are the called of Jesus Christ. That's beautiful, ain't it? What does that say? It says that it's for all people. That it's for all people. All nations. And Paul says, among whom you are part of. Look at verse 13. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the, what? Other Gentiles. Oh, the Romans were Gentiles. You already know that back then there were only Jews and Gentiles. And the Gentiles were those that were not Jews. So anyone who was not a Jew was what? Was a Gentile. Very simple. So then when you read these verses, you get a clearer picture of who in the world he's talking about. And if you still don't get it, verse 14. And 15. For I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians. To those that were Greeks and those that were not Greeks. Both to wise and to unwise. Boy, that covers me. I mean, that takes care of everybody. And that's the whole point. Look at chapter 2 and verse 11. For there is no partiality with God. These words are found in the issue of consequences. And it teaches, without a doubt, the accountability of all people. All people are accountable in the sight of God. Romans chapter 10. In verse 11, Paul is quoting here the Old Testament. He says, for the Scripture says, what does the Scripture says? Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Who? Whoever. Does that include the Chinese? It does. Now, I know, I'm aware, they don't like the idea of Christianity, so-called Christianity, going into China. Does that include Cuba? Yeah, it includes Cuba. Same thing. Same problem. Iraq. Israel. New Canaan. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. And this particular faith, according to what we hear, what we read, Paul says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Why, Paul? For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Listen carefully. Jesus is Lord of all people. All people are accountable to the Lord. All people are accountable to God. So if all people are accountable to God, all people must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this gospel is for all. Why? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This faith that was being broadcast, praised by the Apostle Paul, was a faith among all nations. But finally, whenever you look at faith, look at the word obedience. Because faith is not worth a plugged nickel if it does not obey. Paul said that the faith of these Romans was spoken of throughout the whole world. And then he put in there, obedience is spoken of throughout the whole world. These people that lived so many years before us, their history stands out here in chapter 1 and in chapter 16. And I want you to know that it is just as true today as it was back then. So what does this tell us? That we must have the same faith. And what it tells us is that we can acquire the same faith by hearing the same gospel. If that gospel back then saved people, it can save people today. It's no different. It's the same. And it can save anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? If you haven't, what an opportunity it is to come forward tonight and call on the name of the Lord with faith, with an obeying faith. Shall we stand and sing?